Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles, day number 5. So here we are on the second half already. Day number 5, 2012. And we've been covering some things concerning King Solomon. And when that was the only time that the children of Israel and the king came close to fulfilling the purpose of why God called Israel and gave them his laws and his commandments. And what a tremendous thing it was, the way that Solomon started out. God loved him. We saw he was humble. We saw that he asked for wisdom and understanding to be able to judge the children of Israel. And he was king over all 12 tribes, the last king to be over the 12 tribes. Now let's see what happened to Solomon, because part of this gives us an understanding as to why human nature, after a while, when it has everything, becomes, as it says of the Laodiceans, lukewarm, apathetic, taking things for granted, assuming things. And then comes the human sin again of pride and arrogancy of trying to understand your life without a real relationship with God. Trying to understand what's the purpose in life. Now, Solomon could have known a whole lot more than he did had he really given himself to God the way that he should have. Because when we come to chapter 2, and we'll go through several other places here in the book of Ecclesiastes, what we are going to find out is this. He wanted to find out the purpose of life while still having some connection with God, but really not seeking God for the answer. Rather, he was seeking through experimentation. And experimentation by men doesn't bring you the understanding of God. Now, here Solomon, we saw, had more knowledge than any other man on earth. And we're going to see what that led to. And we're going to see that even though in the end he acknowledged the commandments of God, that he lost his relationship with God because of what he did when he got old. So this was not something that happened to Solomon just overnight. So let's come to Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1. So here's what he endeavored to do, okay? Notice how many times he talks about I. Very similar to Job. However, Job repented, but nowhere do we find that Solomon repented. Verse 1, Ecclesiastes 2. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. And behold, this is also vanity. See, because we need to understand, in God we live and move and have our being. God made us incomplete. God made us imperfect. Though we can function perfectly as a human being as long as everything is right in the body, but we don't have perfect character, and we cannot attain to perfect character without God and his Spirit. And this is the whole lesson of the book of Ecclesiastes and what Solomon did. So he saw that was vanity. He said, I said of laughter it's madness, and mirth what does it accomplish? So he wanted to know. Let's look at a proverb here, because this is exactly what Solomon was doing. Let's come back to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, and let's see. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. Now, Solomon was to be wise. He had wisdom. He had knowledge. He had understanding because God gave it. However, as we're going to see in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, and all the way through the rest of the book of Ecclesiastes, though he mentions God and holds on to God, he was actually leaving God. And he was trying to find purpose in life himself. So in the end, we're going to see Solomon ended up being, rather than wise, a fool. Just like the wise in the world who profess themselves to be wise, and they're fools. So that's what happened to Solomon because he was doing this. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. Now verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but only that his heart may discover itself. So this is how Solomon began to lose his understanding. Yet he was trying to find understanding, but he wasn't seeking it with God. He was seeking it with self-experimentation. The fool is trying to find himself. So here's what he did. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 3. I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet conducting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly until I might see what was good for the sons of men, what they should do under the heaven the few days of their life. So that was his purpose. He's going to experiment with everything. And doesn't this happen with a lot of people in the world? Now, when it comes to the millennium, and we're teaching the people in the millennium, what we're going to understand is this is not going to be the way they're going to learn of God. We're going to teach them. So this is going to be something. Now also, we will need to be learned. We will need to learn because when we're spirit beings and immortal and brought into the kingdom of God, we're going to learn so much more of God and his way and his truth that it is going to be phenomenal. Just as we're born in the flesh and then we learn and grow in knowledge all of our lives, so likewise, when we're born of the Spirit and enter into the kingdom of God and we are completely composed of Spirit, then we're really going to learn because the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the seas cover the earth. Now then, who's going to be teaching that to the people? We are. So this gives us a good understanding of what we need to do, good understanding of why it's not going to be run like Solomon ran it. Because the purpose of what we're going to do is to have people enter into the kingdom of God. Now, here's what Solomon did. He had free rein to do it all. Verse 4. I made great works for myself. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Notice, self-centered, not God-centered. I made gardens and orchards for myself. I planted trees in them of all fruit. I made pools of water for myself to irrigate groves of growing trees. I bought men slaves and women slaves, and servants were born in my house, and I had great possessions of herds and flocks above all that were before me in Jerusalem. Not lacking a single thing. Anything he wanted to do or thought of, to experiment with, to find out, well, why are we here? Where are we going? What is life? Need to understand that. But we're going to see he never found it. That's why in the millennium we're going to teach the people the relationship with God. And they will have to have relationships with us as their teachers as well. And we're going to teach them that though they have everything they would ever want or desire during the millennium, do not look at it through carnal eyes, as Solomon did. So verse 8, richest man in the world. I also gathered silver and gold to myself. Now notice how many times I myself, getting carried away with vanity and stupidity in his own life, right? Yes. The treasures of kings and of the provinces, and I got men singers and women singers for myself, even the sensual delights of the sons of men, and many women. And we're going to see that was Solomon's great downfall. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep it from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Now you would think, after all this striving, and it's called striving after wind, vexation of spirit, you would think that he would have learned the lesson to turn to God. Now in the end he mentions, the sum of it is, fear God and keep his commandments. But he never said, love God, have a relationship with him. Everything comes from God. And this is what we're going to be teaching during the millennium as well. And this is what we need to learn during the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of abundance, a time of being able to get together, a time of spiritual understanding if we apply ourselves to it, but a time where we realize that we are absolutely, totally, 100% dependent upon God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that is the key to success. And that is the key to eternal life. And that is the key to understanding the purpose in life. Did all of that. So that's something. After he did all of that, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hand had done and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind, and there is no profit under the sun, that is, in the physical pursuits. All comes to an end. I could have taken the next step and sought a greater relationship with God. Here he learned all of this, that it didn't amount to what he thought it would amount to, and he couldn't discover life through just doing these things by himself. Notice, if he did it all for himself, how much did he exclude God? Now, verse 12, and I turned to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who comes after the king? Only that which has already been done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excels darkness. Well, he learned that lesson. But did that bring him to conversion? Did that bring him to repentance? Nowhere do we find it. The eyes of the wise man are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself also perceive that one event happens to them all. They all die. Now let's come back to where we began concerning light and darkness. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Just hold your place here and we'll come back. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Remember about the light and the darkness? And what we are going to see in the book of Proverbs is that Solomon started in the light, but then in serving himself, he turned his back on the light and went his way. Now let's see it here. Verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, Christ, the light of men. But men love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Now what we're going to see is this. Whenever anyone turns their back on God and goes out on their own, seeking to do good or find a purpose in life, they are walking away from God. Now, Solomon talked about light and darkness here, but he didn't perceive where he was going. Now, when you turn your back on the light and you look ahead, the light is still shining out there. But as you walk away from the light, it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and pretty soon you come to the place that you leave the twilight of the light, and you enter darkness. And we'll see that's what Solomon did. Verse 20, John 3. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, and that means is coming to the light, and the light is Christ, and the Word of God is light, you see. So that his works may be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God. Now then, let's come back to Ecclesiastes, the second chapter again. Let's see that Solomon was walking away from the light. Now, we're going to see this inclination is still going to be in people that we're going to be teaching during the millennium. And there are going to be people who will want to do what Solomon did to find out. And we'll be there to say, no, this is the way. Walk in it. Don't turn to the right hand or turn to the left hand. So Solomon saw light and darkness, that fools walk in darkness, and they all die. Then I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, verse 15, so it happens even to me. Why then was I more wise? What was the answer? God gave it to him. So you see, he's stepping away from God. Now we can learn this as a lesson in our life too, as we grow and change and overcome, that we need to realize the only time we're going to have really accomplished what is necessary is when we're raised from the dead, and God will accomplish his work in us. Now continuing, verse 15. And I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no more memory of the wise more than the fool forever, since that which is now shall be forgotten in the days to come. And how does the wise die? Even as the fool. His breath goes, poof. And he's gone. Verse 17. Now notice what happens when you're out there and you're striving to try and find the purpose in life without God. He said, therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after spirit, or after wind. Grab the wind. Can you catch it? Run to get ahead of the wind. Can you outpace it? Run into the wind. Can you gather it in? No. Striving after wind. Therefore I hated all my labor which I had done under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who shall be after me. And who knows whether he shall be wise or a fool. And as it turned out, his son Jeroboam turned out to be a fool. And so did Solomon in his old age. Yet he shall have rule over all my labor in which I have labored, and have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Question. Why did he not teach his son, Rehoboam? Think what it would have been if he would have continued to include God in everything. Because, see, there was nothing that Solomon didn't received that he didn't get it from God. And there's nothing that he could do which would be apart from God. So here, that's why this book is here. And this why it is why it's necessary for us to understand. And as a matter of fact, even the Jews, when they gave the readings for the feast days, the book of Ecclesiastes was to be read during the Feast of Tabernacles, because when the people had the fullness of everything physically, they needed to know that this was not the end, but only a means, a part of living, and that everything comes from God. So let's continue on here. Verse 21. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and with skill. Yet to a man who has not labored in it, he shall leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and a great evil. Even the Pharaohs wanted to take it with them, but they couldn't do it. Even building pyramids and building great tombs. You know, it's like when a rich man dies, someone whispers in the crowd, "Well, how much did he leave?" And someone whispers back, "All of it." And so this was grieving Solomon. He had all of this. He was wondering what's going to happen. Now, verse 22. For what has man from all his labor and from the striving of his heart in which he has labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his labor vexation, yea, so his heart does not take rest in the night. This is also vanity. So he's saying, whether you have a good life with everything, whether you have a bad life with a lot of sorrows and misery, it's all vanity. And because only that which is eternal is not vanity. Now think on that. So he said, verse 24, there is nothing better for a man that he should do but to eat and drink and make his soul see good in his labor. This I also saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can enjoy it more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives labor to gather, to heap up, so that he may give to him what is good before the Lord. This is vanity and striving after wind. And so Solomon was really perplexed. And here is the lesson we're going to learn out of it. You can never discover the purpose of life by experimentation in physical things. Now, you may learn things. You may have some wisdom and knowledge. You may have some skills and ability. But you don't know why we are here. You don't know why we were born. You don't know what God is doing. Even in spite of that, Solomon became quite a great philosopher. Gave a lot of proverbs. But in the end run, he went against everything that he knew and taught. So you see, the same way. Spiritual knowledge does not stay in a physical mind. You have to renew it day by day, and that's why we have the Sabbath and holy days as well. So then in chapter 3, he continues to muse on. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. All of those. Now he's getting to a point. And what he's going to do is show that God put it into man to have the ability to think beyond himself. And yet in striving to find the purpose in life by doing the physical things that God has given, without really understanding that it all came from God. Now you may give lip service to God, like Solomon has done as we go through here. But to be completely devoted to God in a spiritual relationship, Solomon never attained to. So then he continues on, verse 5. Time to throw away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. So he examined all of these things, looking at every human activity, and as king, knowing many people, seeing many activities, seeing the works that people did, he had a unique perspective. and yet it was missing the devotion to God. So he says, verse 9, what profit does he has who works in all that in which he labors? I've seen the task which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised by it. It's not all, but he never learned. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in their heart. Now that's interesting. This means that God has given to man the ability to think beyond himself, forward into the future, and to think back in the past, beyond his time, which no other of the living creatures of God can do that are on the earth. Now then, this is why man without God will never understand God's eternal purpose. God gave them the longing, eternity, in their hearts. He gave them the desire, and everyone wants to live forever. And all human beings, regardless of what religion that there is, believe in some kind of afterlife. And that's because of verse 11. But unless you turn to God, you're not going to find the truth. So that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. So he was quite in a conundrum here, trying to understand what he was doing. Now let's come down here to verse 14. He still understood some things of God, just like people in the world today. There are a lot of people who understand some things about God, but they have yet to yield to God so he can grant them the understanding of his plan and purpose for men. So here's the futility of trying to find the purpose of man and God's creation just by experimenting on your own. Verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. Well, he remembered that. And God does it so that men should fear before him. And then he makes this statement again, because this is really important to understand. Every generation likes to think, boy, we know more than the ones who came before us. And that's just not so. He says, verse 15, that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God requires an account of that which is past. So he's still clinging to some knowledge of God. And again I saw under the sun the place of judgment that wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness that wickedness was there. And he'd never understood about the law of sin and death that we have within. That's why in these places of judgment and righteousness there's still wickedness that happens, because men sin, and because they do exactly like Solomon. They become complacent in what they have, and they're seeking for greater gratification and satisfaction, and then they end up sinning and getting into perversity, and many people go right on into the occult and witchcraft. Now, that's the whole basis of the transhumanist movement, to become like God, but forgetting God, to want to be immortal by human means, and how can mortal human beings make themselves immortal? Can't do it. It's like asking to light a fire by throwing water on it. Won't happen naturally. Now, the only time that happened is when God answered Elijah's prayer with the challenge with the prophets of Baal there, we find in the book of Kings. All right. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and every work. Yes, indeed. And the time for every purpose for us now is conversion, truth, understanding, God's Spirit, humility, and loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. So he continued his musing, and he understood some truth, the obvious that you can observe. Verse 18, I said in my heart concerning the matter of the sons of men, may God reveal to them that they might see that they themselves are but beasts. Now that can't happen without the Spirit of God. Now it's a shame. Notice how close that Solomon came to so many things, yet how far away from it he really was. So here's what he concludes again. Now, I don't know how old he was when he wrote this, but he was musing toward the end of his life. And we will see that his great experimentations really got him in trouble with God. And so likewise, even during the millennium, there are going to be people who will turn their backs on God by choice, as hard as that may seem. But there are going to be some that it will happen to. So he says, he looks around, sees all of this. Verse 19, for that which happens to the son of men, also happens to the beast. Even one thing happens to them. As the one dies, so dies the other. They all have one breath, so that man, that is physically, has no advantage over a beast, for all is vanity. And the reason he doesn't is because he needs God. All go to one place, all are of the dust, all shall return to dust again. And then he talks about the spirit of man and the spirit of beast. Who knows the spirit of man, whether it goes upward, or the spirit of the beast, whether it goes downward into the earth? He could have known had he consulted God. He could have known had he remained faithful. Now let's come over here to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Quite a fantastic book, isn't it? Now, this is what every intellectual in the world needs to read. All the elite, all the scientists, all the professors, all of those who are the wise of the world, they need to read this, and they need to understand that what is missing in their lives is God. So here we see Solomon stepping away from God. Now let's come to chapter 6 and verse 1. You can read chapter 4 and 5. There are other things in there that are good for us to learn. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it lies heavy upon men. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires for his life, yet God does not give him the power to eat of it, but a stranger eats it. Now that happens because of sin. This is also vanity and is an evil disease. If a man begat 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his life are many, but his life is not filled with good, and also that he has no burial, I say, a miscarriage is better than he. For he comes in with vanity and goes out in darkness, and his name shall be covered in darkness. So what good is he going to do? Moreover, he's not seen the sun, nor known anything. This one has more rest than the other. Now notice, think about this. Everyone wants to continue to live a longer life. Isn't that true? But what did God say the days of man maximum would be? Genesis, the 6th chapter, 120 days. And from the time after the flood, you look at the chronologies, the ages went down, 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 gradually. The reason that it went down gradually was so that there would be reproduction of people to refill and replenish the earth. But when we get down to David, the father of Solomon, he was called old and stricken in years at 70 years old. And it says in one of the Psalms, our days are 70, that's 70. And if by reason of strength they are 80 or 80 years old, so you look at it, how many people reach 120? Well, not very many, and that's the maximum that God has given. So he muses here, verse 6. Yea, even though he live 1,000 years twice, live 2,000 years, yet he has enjoyed no good, do not all go to one place? For all the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. Isn't that true? Got to eat every day, right? And all you eat, I've often wondered, I wonder what it would be like if you could give a visual picture this way. Here's a little infant showing when a person was born. Here's an old man or old woman showing that they have lived their life. And in between, if you could have a train with many boxcars, and in it you had all the food that they would eat, all the drink that they would drink, and then you also had, in the backside of the cars, you had all the waste that had to be taken care of as well. I wonder how long that train would be. So that would be a good description here. See? Everything a person does is for his mouth to eat so he can live another day. Yet, the appetite is not filled because everything is processed and digested, and he's hungry for the next meal. 6-8 hours later, you go to bed at night, you get up and you have breakfast. And that is, you break the fast of sleeping. Okay? Now let's go on. Come over here to chapter 7. Chapter 7 is a very interesting chapter here. Verse 11. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, yea, a profit to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, even as money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom which preserves the life of those who have it. In other words, to extend your life. Okay? Then he muses on God again. So this is quite a thing. We see a process taking place here. So he says, verse 13, consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he made crooked? Well, you can't. Now, come down here to verse 15. Now, verse 15. All things I've seen in the days of my vanity, there is a just man who perishes in his righteousness. There is a wicked one who prolongs his life in his wickedness. So he says, do not be righteous over much, neither make yourself overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Now, it's amazing how much truth that Solomon was really able to record and perceive and write down. But to show that even with all of this, everything was vanity and striving after wind. Okay, now let's come on over here to verse 23. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I set my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom, the reason of all things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. And he still did not understand it. Verse 26. And what I find more bitter than death is a woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are like fetters. Whoever pleases God shall escape her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, says the preacher, counting one by one to find out under this out the sum which my soul still sought, but I do not find one man among a thousand. Isn't that something? He said, well, he didn't find any among women, and I suppose that he knew something about that. But that was before the giving of the Holy Spirit as we have today. So this is quite something, you know, really quite a book for us to realize. Now let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back and continue.